Good morning and welcome to this episode of the Ad Drop Podcast. We continue our spin through the world of college baseball. Today is Mike Deacon, the head coach of the Denison Big Red. Good morning, coach. How are you? Good morning, coach. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Now, just a few questions. Now, you have your bachelor's in management, but you also have your master's education. How did you manage to mesh your pursuits athletically and your pursuits academically?
Yeah, so I went, when I went to college, probably like a lot of young men, I had no idea what I wanted to do. You know, I really had no clue. So I had started off in education, and I just, you know, doing some of the student teaching or student observation. I didn't get quite to the student teaching, but it just probably wasn't going to be for me. So then that's when I shifted over and thought, well, maybe I'll give this, you know, business stuff a shot. So yeah, it was always challenging playing high level, college baseball and trying to get a degree. But what I always tell people, Terrence, is if it's something you really want to do, there's plenty of time in the day. Like there's plenty of time in the day to work out and train. And there's also plenty of time in the day to study and pursue excellence academically. You just have to have your priorities lined up.
Now, you're an alum of Marietta for your undergrad.
Yes.
Played all four seasons. The team won conference championships, had berths in the Mideast Regional, and appeared in the Division III championship appearances. How have you managed to parlay that success into being able to teach the next generation how to get there?
Yeah, you know, I think playing at Marietta is it's like getting a doctorate in college baseball. It really is. Like when you, because it's first class in everything you do, from recruiting to how you take care of a field to how you clean up a dugout to how you play the game. You know, so without knowing it, just by playing there and then coaching there, you're getting just this great education on how to run a college baseball program. So because of that experience, I think I was able to take that and then just learning outside of Marietta from various different people. And then you start formulating your idea on how you want to run a program and how you want to try to do it at the highest level possible.
When did you know that baseball was going to be your path? Like at what age did you say, you know what, I'm going to be on this field for a while and kind of see where this goes?
Well, we were talking, you know, prior to hitting record, you know, you say you were a football guy. I like basketball a whole lot better than baseball growing up. I played both sports in high school. Stopped playing football probably in ninth grade. But basketball was kind of going to be my, you know, kind of something I was really, really passionate about. You know, just 6 foot tall and just, you know, as a guard, you know. So I think baseball, I thought, well, you know, there's a chance there for a little bit greater of a future. You know, maybe I could get on and play professional baseball or something like that, which I didn't. But at that age, I thought like that could be a definite path. So I love sports all my life, all three, baseball, basketball, football, and just about any sport you could think of. But I didn't really know baseball would be the path and probably until I was like 18 or 19.
What is the culture of not just the Denison baseball family, but the whole university itself, the whole school? What is the family culture like there?
Yeah, it's you know, Denison's a high academic school, and if you look at the rankings right now, it's crazy. I think we're at like a 12% acceptance rate. So you're around a lot of high achievers, you know, and that's really good in the bad, right? So I mean that sometimes there's some things that come along with high achievers, don't like failure, you know, those types of things. So it's a place where there's a lot of really smart, talented people across the board, right? Not just athletics, not just in the classroom, but we have people who are in dance and theater and do a lot of really eclectic, cool things outside of the classroom. So I think that's where it is. You have a lot of high achievers that are looking to find their niche in whatever niche that may be. Really special stuff throughout the whole campus, faculty and students alike.
Now, you've been around the field, you know, pretty much all your adult life. Do you still get nervous before the start of a season?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, just being vulnerable, I wish I wouldn't, you know, cause a lot of that's probably ego driven. But yeah, there's always the thought of, are we going to get a hit ever this whole year? Are we ever going to get in and out? Are we ever going to win a game? You know, the uncertainty of the unknown is real. You know, And to go into a little coach speak, you do try to lean into the things that you can control. You can't control the outcomes, you can't control the opponents you're going to play, et cetera. But what you can control is your approach. So I think that's where I've tried to, how do I mitigate some of that nervousness is by just trying to really focus on those things that are in my control.
As a former hitter and one who teaches hitting now, what's more difficult, being able to take an average hitter and make him a good hitter, or taking a good hitter and make him great?
I would say good to great, and that's probably true just about in any field, including hitting a baseball. The margins as you go from, great to elite or whatever, they're just so small. Like they're all in the details, and I think there's the saying, at some point talent meets talent, and so then like all that's the beautiful thing about baseball, in my opinion, is that at some point, I don't know what level it is. Some people it's 10U, some people it's high school, some people it's college. Some people it's double A or single A. Some are in the big leagues, but at some point the talent kind of lines up with you, and that's where all those things, the mental side of things, the ability to focus on the task at hand and believe in your process, those all become so critical. And I think because of that, like that's where the separator is in that good to great or great to elite or however you want to phrase it.
Can you look at a player, be it yours or an opposing player, when they take the mound or step to the plate, where you can tell that there's no confidence there, just by looking?
Yeah, I think so, and maybe not like right away. But there is a way I think high performers and elite performers carry themselves, and sometimes it's in different shapes and sizes. Some people are very outgoing, some people are they're not. But I do think there's an air about someone who believes that they've done the work, that they deserve to be on the mound or deserve to be in the box in those big situations, and that's usually where it comes from. And so I do think there is a presence that high performers do put off, that we're always looking for, and that you can see if you do this job for 20 plus years, you tend to get a sense of who's in the right space and who's not.
Are slumps mental or physical or a combination of both?
Yeah, I'll give the scapegoat answer, both, right? Like I used to think it was all mental. I did. I think that's the old school in me. Like it's, what are you saying to yourself right now? Are you using a strong voice or using a weak voice? Like those, I used to think that was all related. But there are guys, there's certain guys. You probably saw the video of Ken Griffey Jr. swinging the cage at the World Baseball Club. Like he'll be able to do that till he's 80 years old. Like he walks in there, he's not moving at the same speed, but it's still beautiful. He can hit. Like it's just special. But there's a lot of people who aren't as natural with that. Even guys in the big leagues that can get off course with a mechanical cue can really put them back on the right path. So I would say a lot of it's mental, but there are some physical things that happen throughout the course of a season that can get guys off the plan.
Now, how has your coaching philosophy evolved over the past couple of decades?
Well, I think you just move and shake with the times. I distinct culture, a very distinct way of doing things that works, that wins consistently year after year after year. But then you, over time, you learn and you pick from different people throughout the industry. So I probably went from more of a rigid approach, like the Marietta way. And I don't say that negatively, but it's a system like that you don't really mess with. I went from probably thinking that's how I would run a program to evolving maybe more into a little bit more of a player-centric program over the years. But at my core, I still have that Marietta fundamental system-based approach, but been able to sprinkle in some other things along the way.
Being around the game for a couple of decades, this is a side question, but where was the best food you had on a road trip during your tenure as a coach?
Oh man. Gosh, there was, and I wish I knew the place. I wish I knew the place. We would go to Panama City, Florida. Gosh, and Coach Shelley, the guy I played for, legendary coach. He would say it's the greatest restaurant in the universe, and gosh, it's gonna you trip me up. But we would go there one time. It was a steakhouse, and it was the one like real nice meal you would get on the trip. But other than that, I would say these places like Ryan's, and these aren't great. But you'd have Ryan's, you'd have place that Coach Shally will call the greatest restaurant in the universe, and I'm going to shoot it to you via email when I think of it.
Now we're going to take a quick commercial break and come back and discuss this version of the Big Red and kind of get your thoughts on the vibe of the team. You are listening to the Ad Drop podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with Ad Drop podcast. Terrence Biggs, Mike Deegan, head coach of Denison Big Red Baseball. Coach, when we look at your, when we look at this current incarnation of the Big Red, a couple of things come to mind. Do you have a player in Eric Colaco who has 8 multi-hit games? When you see a player like Eric who is just dialed in, is that contagious to the rest of the team?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Eric's a special one. He's a special talent. He's an elite runner. He's been a little banged up. He's been only been able to DH for us. He dove back into a base in our second weekend and had his shoulder come out. And so, anyways, he's kind of fighting through some things right now. We're hoping to get him back in center field soon. But yeah, that kind of talent does make things a little bit easier on others in the lineup. Now, baseball is this unique sport, though, right? Where it's a team sport, but there's a lot of individual matchups, pitcher versus hitter, that type of thing. So ultimately, those guys are in the box; they're on their own. But I'd be lying if I said that if you have a couple elite players around it, it does make things a little bit easier to hit in the order.
Now, currently, the Big Red sit at 59 extra base hits. Is this something that you kind of preach to your team, or is it something that has the end result of excellent practices?
I would say, you know, we want to be a dynamic offense, so we want to be able to beat you with extra base hits. We want to be able to beat you on the bases, and then also, you know, in the short game, bunts and that type of thing. And right now, to be honest with you, we're very one dimensional. Like we're hitting the ball, you know, we're hitting for extra base hits and home runs, but when that part of our game isn't clicking, then it's been tough for us to score at times. Our offensive coordinator Danny LaPera does a great job. And with the training aspect of it, I mean, we're very machine heavy. You know, we do a lot of the bat speed testing and bat speed training as well. And he does a great job with that. But we also incorporate the bunts, the base running, and that type of thing. But the last thing you want to be in college is a one-dimensional offense. And we work every day to be able to do it multiple different ways. But yeah, the extra base hits are something we focus on. We've had some win-dated days in there as well. You know, I know we had the Arcadia game that we put up 26 runs where it was blowing out at 40 miles an hour. So the stats are probably a little misleading right now. And if I were forecasting this thing, I would look for us to those numbers to kind of taper off a touch and look to see us probably do more on the bunt game and the base running games as the conference season starts heating up.
You have two pitchers kind of at opposite ends of their career, Denison. You have a senior Charlie Fleming and a freshman Will Reddick. First, Charlie's calming influence, his ability to leadership. What have you seen that takes shape as far as being able to just not just go out and perform on the mound, but being able to mentor younger players?
Yeah. So Charlie was, he was conference pitcher of the year as a sophomore and pitched in some really big games. Struggled a little bit last year as a junior, and now he's back to his sophomore season form, if not better this year. He's just a really, really elite competitor. Awesome person as well. Close to a 4.0 student. Just someone that you can count on day in and day out. He's just somebody who's very consistent in his approach to life. So that's Charlie. You know, he got hurt. Is our first game in Florida got hit with a comebacker, and he hasn't been on the mound in almost 2 weeks for us. So that's been tough. We lost 275 innings from last year's team. You know, our number one pitcher is at Maryland, our number two pitcher is at UMass. So, anyways, we're a young pitching staff, and to have someone with Charlie's experience, presence, and just the way he is as a person has been really beneficial for our younger pitchers.
You have a guy like Will, who's a freshman coming in, taller guy, 6'5", live arm. When you see a player who has that, who walks in as a freshman with those traits over the next couple of years, how, not easy, but how much simpler is it to take somebody with great traits and be able to teach them the finer points of the game than somebody with lesser traits and teach them to be better?
Yeah, the best thing about Will is, you know, we weren't, I mean, he was a good recruit of ours for sure. We, you know, going into the winter though, it wasn't like he slam dunked the job in the fall. You know, he was really good in the winter and got some opportunities. But what I was going to say that Will's greatest gift is his ability to learn and his humility. Like he wants to get better. Like he really, really wants to get better. He takes the coaching really well. And it's easy. What his gift is, one, that, like I said, that humility. Then two, the physical attributes that which you mentioned, he can make adjustments really easy. Like he's learned to change up this year based. He's not going to finish the year where he is right now. I mean, that's not right. But he will continue to get better and better and better because of his physicality, and more importantly, because of his eagerness to improve.
When you're not on the field, when you're not in the office, how do you get away from the game?
I'm lucky in the fact that I do what I love. Like I truly love what I do. And right now, we're going through it. It's been a tough couple of stretches. We've had some key injuries. We just mentioned two of them, right? Colosso, Fleming. But we're going through it. But I love all of that. Like I'm very, very fortunate that I don't need to get away like some people need to get away. But I have 4 kids. I have a very supportive spouse, great family, and so really, when I get away, it's just with them. Like I don't golf. I don't go to bars. Like I don't do a lot of things that a lot of baseball guys do, to be honest with you. But I'm able to pour myself into the job. I'm able to pour myself into my family, and those two things make my life very fulfilling. So I don't need a whole lot more than that, except for maybe some exercise. I like to exercise and do those types of things. But yeah, I'm one of the fortunate ones.
When you and the family do go out to eat, what's the best place in town to grab a meal, and what's on your plate?
The best place for us is we gosh, there's some great restaurants. Dewa Noche, Elm's Pizza, but the Broadway Pub is probably one of our favorites. Our kids like it because you get, for me, I'll go there and get, if it's lunch, get a turkey club. They have a good meatloaf and mashed potatoes for dinner, a good salmon salad as well. So that's one of my favorite spots, but there's a lot of them. Now that you have my mind going, there's Harvest Pizza just opened. There's a place called The Station. So if you come to Granville, it's small, but there's some really good restaurants locally.
Being an Ohio sports fan, last question. What do you think is the toughest loss you had to endure as far as being an Ohio sports fan?
Oh man, so okay, I'm gonna out myself a little bit. I'm from Pittsburgh, so I'm more of a Pirates, Steelers, Penguins fan. Toughest sports memory for me. Oh, man, I would say probably when I was a kid, this is like in take it back to the 80s, but Pitt was a 2 seed and Pitt got upset. They got beaten the 2 versus 15 game. And I can't remember who it was, but I remember coming off the bus, going to the house to see how they did. This is before you could check in on your phones, and they lost. And I remember like a baby, like breaking down and crying, at the time. So yeah, the Pitt Panthers, back in the day with Jerome Lane and Sean Miller and those guys, they got upset and it hurt probably really bad.
Being a Steelers fan, is the throw from Ben Roethlisberger to Santonio Holmes in the Super Bowl to win it the best throw you've seen in a big game?
Period. Period. I saw. It's funny you asked that. I don't know if there's. I don't know if there's a better, a bigger play in Super Bowl history. I mean, you could argue that, but the throw, the catch, everything about that was, yeah, top notch.
You think that Kenny Pickett is the one to lead your Steelers back to the playoffs?
That's a great question. I'm gonna stay on the fence. Verdict's still out. I don't know. I don't follow like I used to follow. So I'm just speaking out of turn here. But I didn't see enough to say yes, he is like 100%. I'll be interested. Just as he gets another year, I think the reps are so important. But I think this year will be the year you can tell whether he could be an elite quarterback or if he's just a guy that's just a serviceable NFL quarterback, but I'm excited for him. I think he's got the moxie. I think he's got that. It's just, can he handle the physicality of it at that size?
Exactly. Head coach of the Denison Baseball Team, Mike Deegan. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AdDrop Podcast.